Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go back to Hebrews tonight. We were there Sunday morning talking about pursuing holiness. I'm going to talk about that again tonight. When you read the Bible, you know, you can read the Bible different ways. You can read it through denominational glasses, you know, and we only believe certain things, and that's the way we believe it. I had a friend, I haven't seen him in years, but, you know, he was part of a denomination, but didn't believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. One day he read the book of Acts for himself and decided they were wrong and the Bible was right. Amen. I mean, the Bible's always right. Amen. And so he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Amen. And so, you know, you can read the Bible. You know, we're faith people. You know, I teach a lot on faith, especially, you know, a pastor, you got to teach more subjects because people have to be well-rounded. Some of us are getting pretty round the way it is. But anyway, praise the Lord. But you know what I mean. I'm going to talk about physically well-rounded, but you got to be spiritually well-rounded. But you know, I wasn't a pastor, I taught a lot on faith and healing and those kind of things. And those are great Bible subjects, right? But when you read the letters of Paul, the apostle, to the churches, there is a lot in there about the way we live. A lot. Where he addresses those issues and all. And so it was important to him that the churches pursue holiness. Amen? And so the verse that we read was Hebrews 12:14. And we'll read it again, and then we're going to look at some new verses tonight. But out of the old King James, it says, follow peace, or actually pursue peace with all men. And so how many know as much as within you, as lies within you, you try to walk in peace with people. You know, some people aren't going to live at peace with you, and you just got to move on. Amen. Just forget it. Move on. And, you know, just don't have contact with them or something. But then he said, and holiness. So pursue peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, that's just what the Bible says. If you don't pursue holiness, you're going to end up not seeing the Lord. And the reason is, and a lot of people say, well, we're saved by grace, aren't we? We are. We are saved by grace. And he didn't say pursue righteousness. Righteousness is a free gift you get when you get born again. But if you don't pursue holiness after you get saved, the devil is going to take you out of the race. You might as well know that. Yeah. Somehow or another, he's going to get you. Yeah. Amen. It isn't like God doesn't love you, or he doesn't want anything to do with you. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing he did is reach out to them and help them. So it wasn't like that, but the thing of it is, they lost a lot because because of the curse and what the devil brought on the earth. And so it isn't like God's going to do things to you, or he's going to, you know, smite you. He's going to get a foothold in your life. And so if you don't, you know, when I got saved, I started pursuing holiness. And like I said Sunday morning, one of the first things I did was left my old friends behind. Because we were going separate directions now. Yeah. Now, you know, I did share the gospel with some of them. But I just quit going where they were at and hanging around them. Because we're going two different ways. Amen. I'm following Jesus and they're not following Jesus. And they want to do things that Jesus wouldn't have me to do. And I'm going to serve him. Yeah. And I just had that much commitment about me right off the bat. And I think that we need some more of that in the church today, where people are committed to Jesus right off the bat. And so if he'd have told me, you know, go to China, go to Africa, I'd have went. Because I just want to do whatever he said do. So here in this verse, it talks about pursuing holiness. Now, once again, I want to make sure we understand this. Righteousness, it was imparted to us when we got born again. But holiness, we're to pursue it. We're to go after it. Amen. You know, you read the letters to the churches in Revelation, the seven letters that Jesus sent to the churches, they talk about their lifestyle, how they live, their works, and so forth. And so, and people get confused by this and say, well, you're saying we're saved by, by our work. No, you're not saved by your works, but you're not going to make it without them. We're saved unto good works, the Bible says. And so you're just not going to make it, the devil. And I'll show you a scripture here in a little bit that will show you that. But I just, you know, the Bible talks about this in Acts. It says that be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so when we get saved, sins should be in remission. You've heard about cancer being in remission. You know, that means it's no longer active. It's in remission. It's going backwards. That's the way sin's supposed to be in our life when we get saved and get baptized, is supposed to be in remission. Amen. And so, you know, I know some people won't sit and listen to this. Well, you know, really, I don't really care. Honestly. I didn't mean that smart-alecky, but I mean, I'm not going to change so people will listen to me. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. You know, as best as I know how, I'm going to preach it to you. So we were called, because I know, and obviously you're here, but I mean, you know, I've just seen over the years that people don't like these kind of messages. I told you years ago how I had the teaching on faithfulness, and it never would sell. It never would sell. I mean, oh, maybe once in a while would sell. But we'd have to, you know, we did everything then. I mean, well, Greg and Debbie helped us. Pastor Debbie and Brother Greg helped us some. And, of course, he would do sound and she would work the tape table and all. But we produced all that. So we knew what sold and what didn't sell. And the one on faithfulness would just never sell. So Pastor Debbie preached one time and she preached a message on spiritual success. And it was about faithfulness and how you'd have spiritual success if you're faithful. We couldn't keep that thing on the resource table. We called it a tape table. We couldn't, because people would buy it, but they didn't want my one. Same teaching, but it's just titled different. She had a good sense to title hers in a way people would buy it. I thought they'd be interested in faithfulness, but they weren't. But I'm interested in faithfulness. How about you? I mean, I gravitate towards those teachings. I personally do. If I go to a tape table, there's one on prosperity, there's one on healing, one on faith. I love all of those, but I'll gravitate towards, you know, getting to know God, you know, faithfulness, holy living, because I know that's really key to having spiritual success in your life, like the message she preached. That's the key to it. Because God, the Bible says we'll abound with blessings if we're faithful. Yep. Amen. Amen. And so I'll just say this: if you get knocked down, what do? How many know you get up? If you go out, if you leave the church tonight, you trip on the curb and you fall, you know, onto the parking lot. I'm hopeful by tomorrow morning you'll be up. You won't just lay there and say, "I fell." How many know? No, you want to get up as fast as you can, and hope nobody saw you. It's like one brother told, remember, I always think of this story, the one brother about the guy that was going down the escalator. He was dressed in a white suit, wasn't it? All white suit. He had a white hat on with a red feather in it. And he had those, you know, how many remember the big platform shoes we used to wear? He had those on. And somehow his heel got caught in the escalator. And he said, I saw him coming down, you know, and said, he's just tumbling. You know, head, feet. Said when he got to the bottom of the, he landed on his feet and his glasses shot off his head. He said in one smooth motion, he grabbed those glasses, put them on, said, well, all right. I mean, you want to be as cool about it as you can. So if you do fall, look, God's still on your side. No, there's none of us that haven't sinned after we got saved. One lady stood up in church and said, I haven't sinned in 2 years. She just did by lying. I don't buy it. You know, we're not out trying to sin. When I'm not saying, you know, like one doctrine is we sin every day. No, we don't have to sin every day. But I'd say somewhere along the way in 2 years, we've probably all missed it and needed to ask God to forgive us. Amen. So, we, you know, sin should be in remission. When we get saved, sin should be in remission in our life. It means it should be getting less and less. And that's what happened in my life. It just kept getting less and less. I kept doing less and less as I began letting the Word of God, amen, sanctify me. I went to church. I said, I went to church. Every time we had church, I listened to the pastor. I did what he preached from the Word of God. But beyond that, and this is really important, is I got in the Word for myself. Right. Amen. And I had preachers and teachers that spoke into my life. And, you know, I just figured they're older than me. They know what they're talking about. See, this is a thing that's happened in the church is we've lost our respect for our elder preachers. And listen to a lot of these. Now, we all started out as younger preachers, but I wasn't seeking out younger preachers when I first got saved. I wasn't seeking that out when I first started the ministry. I was seeking out the guys that had been there a while. Because they've learned some things, you know. Because I know I was young and I didn't know anything, but they knew something. Amen. All right. So let's go to the Old Testament book of Haggai. I'm going to help you. It's the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Well, actually, it's the third. Sorry. Malachi, I think, then Zechariah, then Haggai. So it's the third to the last book. Because some of these Old Testament books are a little hard for finding. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai. I want to read to you a scripture here. Because we have to, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm strong enough, Pastor, I can take that. I can sit, you know, and watch stuff that's not good for me because, you know, I'm strong enough, I can do that. And you're just judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm trying to help you. Because what you put in your mind, you're going to have to deal with. Amen. I've heard things I wish I'd never heard. I've seen things I wish I'd never seen. Never would have to deal with that. So it's a matter of, you know how they say in the natural, they say, you are what you eat. I don't know. I hope it's not totally true, but I guess there's some truth to it. But I can tell you in the spirit, you are what you eat, what you feed on. David said in the Psalms, he said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Why? Because you're going to have to deal with it later on. I just don't want to deal with it. Amen. Now, so let's look at this in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 11. Haggai said this, the Lord said this. He said, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, all right, ask him about the law. Ask him this, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt or the fold of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or meat, shall it be holy? All right, so the question is, if he's got holy, if he bears holy flesh and he touches something, will what he touched becomes holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Now, I like the Amplified Bible here because it goes on to say this. It says, holiness is not infectious. In other words, you can't catch it. I mean, you don't catch righteousness. People go to church for 20 years and never get made righteous because they never get born again. Yeah, I heard a story about one pastor. He pastored a church for 20 years. And a guy came to his town holding a meeting, an evangelist, and some of his people started going. So he thought, I better go over and check it out to make sure this is okay. He went, he heard the true gospel message about salvation, and he said to himself, he said, well, I haven't done that. He answered the altar call and got saved and has been a pastor for 20 years and found out he hadn't been saved. So it just doesn't get off on you. You got to believe for righteousness. Let me know that. And then he said, verse 13, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body, he touches any of these, shall it be unclean? So this guy, if he's unclean and he touches anything, he touches this pottage or bread or oil, will it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Now the Amplified Bible says, unholiness is infectious. How many know what infectious is? It means you can catch it, right? See, if we got somebody that's sick, and we say, well, come up here, because we're going to set, Miss Phyllis, she's healed, she's well. We're going to set you by her, and you're going to get well. I mean, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No.
But what if we say we had somebody up here and they were sick and somebody sat by them? Is it possible they could catch that sickness? It's possible, isn't it? Why? Because it's an infectious disease. See, when we hang around things that aren't holy and we allow those things in our life, it's infectious. It's infectious. You get infected by it. And I don't know about you, but, you know, now in the natural, I'm not concerned about infectious diseases because I'm healed. I've got divine protection. I wasn't concerned, and I know some people died from this. I'm not stupid, but I wasn't concerned with COVID. Because why? I'm healed. I said, I'm healed. I'm not going to be in fear when the Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed. All right? I mean, I'm just not going to be. Now, you know, if anything tries to get on me or anything does get on me, I've got healing. I've got a provision. And I'm not talking about just running over to the doctor. Thank God for doctors. If you need to do that, you do that. But I've got a great physician. So do you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. That's what it means. And so I'm not concerned about infectious diseases. You know, I'm not concerned. Now listen, I'm not saying don't be stupid. We got to use some common sense. God gave us a brain. You know what I mean? But I'm not germophobic. Anybody ever watch that movie, What About Bob? Remember how he was he'd carry that hanky around? Remember he was trying to get a ride from that young lady? He goes, who all uses this vehicle? Oh, just us. And, you know, he's got his hanky out, going to open the... I'm not that way. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
But I still wash my hands because it's smart. Right? You got to do your part. But I'm not going to run around in fear. Oh, my gosh. I was around somebody, and they had this, I know it's going to get off on me. No, I don't know that. What I do know is by His stripes I'm healed. I don't know that. But back to my point now. Haggai said, and I like the Amplified Bible, it says that holiness is not infectious, but unholiness, it's infectious. You can catch it. So you have to... You have to monitor what you allow in your life, the places you go, the people you hang with. You got to monitor that. Was Jesus ate with sinners? Yeah, He did, but He didn't fellowship with them. He ate with them to get them to. He said they needed a physician. He's the physician. We can be a physician to sinners. We should be a physician with sinners. But that doesn't mean we go hang out in the bars with them. Someone came to me one time and said, well, the Lord called us to play in the bars. They told me this. They came, they asked me, well, they didn't ask me, but they said, the Lord told us to play in the bars. I said, how many people you got saved? They said, none. I said, I don't think the Lord told you to do that. You know, I think it's a biography. I always get those autobiography. Autobiography is the one you wrote yourself, right? I think it's a biography about an old Assembly of God preacher named Peter Cartwright. You know, back in the days when they rode horses, you know, what they call them, circuit riders. Well, that's what he was, a circuit rider preacher. And so, you know, you go in some of these towns, there's no Holiday Inn. This is in the day. They had places to stay, but many times they were above the saloons. So... He stops at one of those places, and he's getting him a room, you know, and the person behind was a lady behind the counter said, now, we're having a dance tonight. Are you going to come? Well, you know, first he was going to say no because, you know, he didn't do that, you know. But he said he sensed the Lord said go. He said, yeah, I'll be down here. He said, so I went down there, and he said, as I do, I stand there. He said, this young lady came up to me and wanted to know if I wanted to dance. He said, yeah, sure I do. He said, but before I do anything, I always pray. So he prayed real loud, stopped everybody, started praying, and people started falling out in the power. And he said the young lady he was hanging on, she fell out in the power, and they got saved. I said, when you do that, then you can go to the bars if you're going to do that. But you know what I'm talking about? People just want to hang around darkness, and it'll get off on you. It'll infect you. Amen. You don't want to do that. In fact, we ought to have more sense about that than we did about, remember COVID, that whole deal, and some of that was just nonsense, you know. And the reason I say that is because we had an infectious doctor, a meeting with an infectious doctor and a lawyer churches did. It was to reopen churches, so you did it and you didn't get in trouble with the law. Nobody could sue you, that kind of thing. And so he took questions, and one of the questions was, why can we only be 6 feet away from one another? He said, well, we had to come up with some kind of number. I appreciate his honesty. In other words, it doesn't mean a thing. And then we said, the question was, well, they told us, the government told us, now you have people come in one door and go out the other door. And he said, well, he said, you don't get COVID that way. He said, you got to be around somebody for at least 15 minutes. So I'm thinking, you know, all this stuff we're being told, and wearing of the mask, and people still wear the mask today. That's fine. You know, it's real becoming to you. Anyway, for some people it helps. But anyway, I see people in their vehicle by themselves wearing a mask. And I'm like, you afraid you're going to catch something from yourself or what? But that, hey, listen, if that gives you peace, do it. I don't have any problem with it. But all of that was just stuff that really didn't do anything. But let's go in our Bible. Let's go to Numbers chapter 33, I believe it is. Let's see, Numbers 33. Numbers 33. Go there. Numbers 33. It's just real important that when we give our life to Jesus, no matter, you know, where we're at, how long we've been serving God, we should still continue to grow in holiness. We should still continue to grow. And I'm not talking about, because, you know, there's a buzzword in the church, has been around for years, you're judging me. Well, you know, we don't have to judge people, but we can judge things, right? Most people that use that term in the church, you're judging me, they're just upset because we don't agree with your sin. Right. Help me out now. That's the problem. It's like you don't agree. I'm never going to agree with your sin. And if you call that judging you, so be it. It's not judging you. You know, I'm judging what you're doing, maybe. Right. Paul said, can't you judge? He told the Corinthians, can't you judge the small matters in the church? He said, don't you know you're going to judge angels? And you can't even judge the smallest matters of what right and wrong is. And so we have to have some discernment about us and learn. You ever watch a movie? I've done this before, start to watch a movie, and all of a sudden I'm feeling like, this is not good. Something's wrong here. And you don't need to hang around and see what it is. Shut it off. Amen. Amen. So. You know, people talk about, well, that's legalism. No, it's not legalism. It's just helping you have peace. That's why you ever notice how much mental illness we have in America? It's because what people are doing with their minds. Yeah. The devil's getting hold of their minds. Yeah. And it'll get worse and worse if people don't watch what they intake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. You know, years ago, you didn't have the access to all the filth that you have today. It wasn't there. You know, today, I mean, it's just readily available. There's so many weird people today. Even in the church.
Yeah.
Some of these things are hard to say, but you know, we shouldn't be having some of the stuff that's going on in the church. We shouldn't have to deal with that. People should come to church and get their lives cleaned up. Get in the Word, get their lives cleaned up. Listen to the pastor if he's preaching the Word and living clean. Amen. And get yourself in line. Amen. Ten, hut! Get it lined up, man. You know, instead of just all this, well, you know, God knows, God understands. Yeah, God understands sin. He knows it'll kill you. That's why he told you to leave alone. The wages of sin is peace and happiness. No, it's what? It's death. It still pays the same wages. Well, define sin. Well, anything that's opposed to the will of God is sin. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Which would mean, if it's going to be a faith, you got to find it in the Bible that it's okay to do it. Yep. Amen. Amen. All right, see, people talk about, you know, different things, but, you know, you got to understand, How many know God doesn't want you to do anything that'll harm your temple?
Right.
Amen. Right. He doesn't want you to do anything that harms your temple. Put anything in your temple that'll harm it or hurt it. This body doesn't belong to us once we get saved.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that we're purchased with a price. He bought us by the precious blood. That's Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Our bodies are bought with a price.
Yeah.
So we can't just do with our bodies what we want to do with our bodies. The Lord owns our body.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, if I've got a house and I'm renting it out to you, I own the house. You may be living in the house, but I own it. You can't just decide to add a bedroom on. I come, show up, and you tore the front porch off. I mean, that's not going to fly because you don't own it. You're just using it. We don't own our bodies. We're just using them. We're to be stewards of them, right, and take care of them. Amen. Now, let's look at this in Numbers chapter 33. I want to read a few verses here. Chapter 33, this is God's instructions to Israel when they're getting ready to go into Canaan's land. You got to know some things about Canaan's land. It was a filthy place. God said that their sin was so bad that he's going to throw them out of the land. And I know some of the things they did, which I'm not even going to discuss in the pulpit. I'm not even going to bring it up, but they were some bad people. All right. Let's just leave it at that. Now, Numbers 33, verse 50 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When you're passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy," the King James says, "all their pictures or their images." So how many know we got to watch what kind of images and pictures we allow? "Destroy all their molded images, break down their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I've given the land to you to possess it. And you shall divide the land by inheritance among your families. To the more you'll give the more inheritance, to the fewer you'll give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falls. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit it." Now, verse 20 or 55, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. And more of it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." So in other words, God's telling them, you got to drive out this perverted stuff when you get into the land.
Right.
How many know when we come into the kingdom, we're supposed to drive out the perverted stuff out of our life. And there's a lot of things that pastors don't deal with any longer, and there's an epidemic of things in the church that God frowns on. How many know, God, I'll just say it slang-wise so we all get it. How many know, God frowns on shacking up. Is that too old for you? I know, maybe I thought that might be too old of a term. It's like the younger people, shacking up, living in a shack. Aren't you talking about the burger place? So we're all clear on what I mean, right? But yet that's accepted, and Christians are doing it and go to church on Sunday morning, lift their hands and praise the Lord and don't realize, or maybe do realize, but don't care, they're offending God. You're on a slippery slope. I hope you make the rapture. I'm not sure you will. Not sure you're going to make it. I know if you keep following that, there's going to be other sins get in your life because you've got an open door for the devil.
Yeah.
Well, you're just judging me. Somebody better, for your sake, better tell you. So, and that's just one thing. There's multitudes of areas where Christians are letting stuff in their life. And I started to say amazed, but I'm not amazed. I'm appalled by it. I'm like, how did this happen? What happened to our preachers? Don't they have any spine any longer? Don't they have any guts any longer to stand for their congregation and say, clean it up? Now, we know people have issues and we'll help you, but we're not going to say it's okay. I've had people tell me that I've confronted that we're shacking up, say, well, if we don't shack up, we'll lose some money. So you think, so somebody can pay you to disobey God. That's what you're telling me. Money's more important to you than obeying God. It's not to me. There's no amount of money worth of disobeying God. Right? You might as well tell me I robbed the bank if it's worth it. If it's got enough money. You know, like the bank robber, remember, there used to be a famous bank robber named Willie Sutton. They asked him, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money's at. So you're telling me you can be bought, the world can buy you for a price. Sin can buy you for a price. Come on now, let's all think about that. How many know that right there is a problem? That's an open door to the devil. Now, I'm not saying you're lost, but I'm telling you, you're getting mighty close to being there if you're not already. Well, I thought once saved, always saved. Wait a minute. You read the New Testament through again. Just take a few days and read it and look for verses that said, if we continue in the faith. If we. There's a lot of ifs in the New Testament. If we continue in the faith. If we hold the confidence of our confidence from the beginning to the end. If we continue in the faith. Right? So, you can be fooled by other people. If you want to be deceived, you'll be deceived. If you want to believe that, I'm not talking about you personally, I'm just talking about people. If people want to believe that, then they'll just be deceived. Right? See, God said in the last days, because people did not have a love for the truth, that strong delusion would come on them. Yeah. See, what we're seeing today in America is just delusional. Yeah. It's delusional. The things that we're being told is normal is delusional. And there's no way we in the church can accept that. That doesn't make us haters. That makes us lovers. How many lovers will tell you the truth? Love doesn't give you what you think you need. It gives you what you really need. If you love your kids, you won't spare the rod. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because here's the thing. If you don't deal with them in your household, when they get out of your household, the law will deal with them. But somebody's going to make them behave. So you have to understand that God's not saying these things to us, you know, because he's trying to keep us from having fun. He knows it'll kill us. Amen. And the true fun, anyway, serving him and loving him. That's where the peace is at. Amen. I like it now. When I see a cop, I don't get nervous. I was thinking about that the other day. I was seeing policemen in different places. I'm like, man, I'm not freaking out like, oh, my gosh, I don't have anything to hide. And I may break the speed limit every now and then, but you're unlikely to go to jail for that. Don't look at me like you're so holy, like you never... You drive 25 on these back streets here in town? How many do that? Well, maybe a couple of you. But you're the one we're honking at. Get out of the way. Get going, Sunday driver. So, I'm not making light. I'm not making excuses. But, you know, I'm just simply saying I don't have that fear because I'm living for God now. And I don't have that fear. I used to, every time I see a cop, I was like, man, what am I doing wrong? I hope they don't pull me over. They're bound to find something. Thank God that part of my life's gone. Hallelujah. I'm glad about it too. Amen. Now notice, what's he telling? Now listen to this. What's he telling the children of Israel? He's telling them get rid of wrong people, places, and things. When I got saved, now I was, before I got saved, I loved rock and roll music. I like music. I was a music person. Some people aren't. I was a music person. There's some music that maybe I didn't like as well as others, but you know, a lot of the groups, the bands, I listened to them. I had their albums. Of course, in those days, they were what they call those things, 8 tracks. It was 8 tracks, and so I had all kinds of those things. But you know what? When I got saved, I decided that's behind me. That's not my life. If I'm going to listen to music now, I'm going to listen to something that glorifies God. I took all of those, every one of those, and I'm thinking, if I remember right, and I could be wrong, but I'm thinking the 8 tracks, I had 215. Because there used to be a place you know, in Washington, Indiana, called Taters. And I'd go to Taters every Saturday, almost every Saturday, and buy new stuff. And it was 8-tracks, you know, click. And so when I got saved, I took all of those and I put them in this burn place we had and set them on fire. It was like an offering, a burnt offering to the Lord. My grandma lived down, she lived a quarter mile away from us. She lived on a different road, but it was a quarter mile away. She called the house and said, "Is your house on fire?" Because she saw all that smoke. No, that was Neil Young, Led Zeppelin, the Doors, all of that was going up in smoke. Why? Because they were saying about things that I didn't want a part of my life any longer. And I'm not saying every song was bad, but I didn't need that any longer. I didn't need it any longer. Brother Greg came home and poured out all of his alcohol. Why? Because you're getting rid of wrong people, places, and things. I don't know how many people I've tried to get to do stuff like that, and they won't do it, and it ends up biting them and destroying their life. And you tell them over and over again. I've told people before, you got to get alcohol out of your life, away from you, get it out. It'll destroy your life. I've talked with people who had problems with alcohol. They're having problems with alcohol, and you tell them, you got to get rid of the alcohol. You got to get it out of your house. You got to get it out of every place you go. You got to get rid of it. And they won't do it and still having problems and want you to pray for them. I don't know how I can pray and help you. If you're not going to get rid of it, if you're not going to do what God said and get rid of those wicked things, help me preach, somebody. If you're not going to do something to get rid of it, how could I pray you out of it? I can't pray you out of something you want to be in. God's not going to honor that prayer. You know, if you want to be in it, you just don't know how hard it is. It's open lid, pour down drain. That isn't hard. Well, what if I fall? Do it again. Start over. Don't beat yourself up. Just say, well, okay, I'm going to get up again. We're going to do this again. How many have started a diet over again? What was that?
Every day.
Every day. Okay. I copied that. It's like of the evening. Tomorrow's going to be different. I thought I was the only one that did stupid stuff like that, but I guess not. Right. Right. I've done that. I've done it like, how many days have we had this? I've done it like 3 times this week already. Like tomorrow, I'm not going to do that. And guess what? So far today, I haven't done it. But the day's, hey, listen to her faith in me. She said the day's not done yet. Well, and she's right. But you see what I'm saying? You gotta pick yourself up. See, a guy came to me and he was in our church. He's moved away now. But he was in our church and he was having a problem with a certain thing in his area in his life. And it wasn't a good thing, you know, it wasn't anything breaking the law or anything like that, but it just wasn't good for you, it wasn't right. And he's talking about how I've tried to beat this. I said, well, let me tell you what to do. Just keep swinging at it. Because one day you're going to make connection. You're going to get rid of it. And we can pray over you. We can pray. I've prayed deliverance over people. They've gotten delivered. But you still, even when you get delivered, you still got to deal with your flesh. You still got to make it behave. Amen. I mean, you know, the devil can influence and do things. And bind people sometimes, you got to get them free from that. But after that, they still got to make their flesh behave. And that's on them. That's not on pastor. It's not on your brothers and sisters. That's on you. We can pray for you, encourage you, but we can't make that decision for you. So you have to get rid of wrong people, wrong places and things. God told Israel, he said, if you bring an accursed thing in your house, you'll be accursed just like it. Now let's go to one last scripture, I think. Let's go to James chapter 4. Come on, did you get something tonight?
Yeah.
James chapter 4, just talking about pursuing. It's something we pursue all the days of our life, and that's holiness. We pursue it. And like I said, if you mess up, don't beat yourself up. Just get up. I mean, oh, God knows. I heard one evangelist say one time, he was funny. He had missed God, did something. He didn't say what it was, but he said he was repenting. And he was all broke up and telling God, God, I promise you I'll never do that again. He said he heard in his heart, don't start lying now. See, God knew him, see. Now, there will be a day when you don't do it again. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. But if you slip up, get up. Richard Roberts years ago wrote wrote a book called God's the God of the Second Chance. I've still got that book. It's a good book. But you know, he's not only a God of a second chance, he's a God of a third chance, a fourth chance. I tell people, if you're serious with God, he'll be serious with you. If you play with him and you don't honor him, he'll lightly esteem you. But if you're sincere, he'll be sincere. And he'll pick you up as many times as he needs to. See, because the Bible says that we're to put away every weight. And now notice the way the Bible says, the sin which so easily besets. How many know sometimes there's this one area we keep fighting? God's there to help you. He's not there to beat you up. But don't give up. That's where the problem comes in. It's like I've told people, you know, if you're fighting it, I'm good with it. A lady came up to me in church one time. She said, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this. She said, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I have an alcohol problem. I said, well, the fact that you would tell me that proves to me you want to do something about it. You're not hiding it. The Bible says if you hide your sin, you won't prosper. You confess it, you'll find mercy. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I'm not shocked by that. And I'm not kicking you out of the church, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. And so, you know, I don't know. She's not around here any longer. I don't know whatever happened to her for sure. But I do know this, that as long as she's fighting it, God's going to help her fight it. Amen. But you can't, if you come to me and say, I've got this problem and I think God's okay with it. Well, no, he's not. He said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. Expose it. Amen. And I'm not saying go tell everybody your sin. You might regret that. They might tell people that don't need to know. But sometimes you can get people that will help you and stand with you and pray with you. Amen. That you can trust. But you better make sure you can trust them. Y'all hear that? Don't just go tell everybody. That's just wisdom, guys. Because there are some Christians that have loose mouths. None here tonight, but praise the Lord. We all have known some before in the past, right? You can't just tell them everything. Amen. Now, all right, James chapter 4 and verse number 4. James said this. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses. Friendly preacher, Annie? Amen? Know you not that friendship or fondness of the world is enmity with God, or hostility with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? See, Paul talked. One of the things that really got me one time reading the Bible, how many would like to have been a part of the Apostle Paul's ministry? I would. I'd love to be able to come to church and listen to Paul preach. Demas, who traveled with Paul and Timothy, he said, Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. Think about this. So I've learned, hey, when people leave me for the world, don't think I'm any better than the Apostle Paul. He had people leave him for the world. And sometimes you can help them, and sometimes you can't do a thing in the world about it because their heart's set on doing it, and God's not going to override their will. Right. You pray for them that their eyes be opened up. Amen. But friendship or fondness with the world, the Bible says, is an enemy of God. Verse 5, this is the King James. It's a little hard to understand, so I'm going to clear it up for you. It says, do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Now, what that means is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us, he yearns jealously. I mean, God's a jealous God, the Bible says. Not bad jealousy. Not that type. This is Bible, scriptural jealousy, where the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of you. He's grieved when you practice sin. You know, sin should make us uncomfortable. we shouldn't be able to set through that. You know, if I'm watching a movie and there's a bunch of cussing on, I'm done with it. I'm not comfortable. I'm sorry. You know, I might be able to put up with a couple D's and H's, but that's about it. You go beyond that, and I got other stuff I can watch. And I don't even really do that. I've got one of those things that, well, I don't know what it's called, but it cuts all the cursing out. You know, when John Wayne kicks the door up and walks in and you can't hear anything he's saying, you know, well, he was mad. I've seen that many times. I'm good with that. How about you? I don't need that in my house. I want peace in my house. Yep. Amen. So, but notice verse 6, but God gives more grace. How many want more grace? Wherefore he said, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And what's the proud? The proud are the ones that says, well, it's not that bad. Right? Yeah. Why do you mean proud? They're going by their own ideas. But the humble say, all right, God said I shouldn't do this. And so, all right, I'm going to submit to that. God said he'll give you grace. Yeah. He'll help you out of that. Yeah. Now notice this. This is a scripture we faith people love, but it has other scriptures around it. How many know we should read things in context, right? Yeah. Right? See, I heard a story about a farmer. He got hit, and he's going to court, you know, and there's like a lawsuit. A truck driver hit him, and there's a lawsuit going on, and he's suing for his injuries and stuff like that. And so he's on the stand, and this lawyer for the truck driver says, now you testified, you said to the investigating officer when he asked you how you were doing, you said you were doing fine. Didn't you say that? He said, well, let me tell you about that. He said, I was loading my cow, Bessie, on the trailer. Lawyer said, I don't want to hear about your cow. I ask you a question. Did you or didn't you tell the officer on the scene that you were fine? Well, like I said, I was loading my cow, Bessie, on the trailer. He said, I don't want to hear. I want a yes or a no. So tell me. Did you or did you not tell the investigating officer that you were fine? He said, well, like I said, I was loading my cow, Bessie. He said, Your Honor, would you please instruct the witness to just answer the question, yes or no? So the judge thought about it for a little bit, and he said, you know what? I think I'd like to hear about his cow, Bessie. So he looks at the guy. The farmer says, go ahead, tell your story. The farmer said, thank you, Your Honor. He said, as I was saying, I loaded my cow, Bessie, on the trailer. I hooked my tractor up to the trailer and I was pulling Bessie, came to this intersection, the semi ran the stop sign, hit me in the side on the tractor, threw me off the tractor over into the ditch, it threw Bessie over into the ditch on the other side. When the officer came, he heard Bessie over there moaning and groaning. So he went over there, saw what bad condition she was in, got his revolver out, shot her between the eyes. Then he walks over to me with his revolver in his hand and says, how are you doing? He said, Your Honor, let me ask you a question. Under those circumstances, wouldn't you have said, I'm doing fine? See, all the farmer wanted to do was give a little context to the story. So here's a verse that we just pull out and love it, and it is true, but there's some context that goes behind it. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. What does that mean? Live right. Yep. Do what he just said. Don't be an adulterer or an adulteress. Now that's just not talking about physical adultery. It's talking about spiritual adultery, being in love with the world. You're committing adultery against the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He says, then he says, notice this, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, how do you know? He won't flee from you if you're not submitted to God. One thing Brother Hagin used to teach the students at Raymond, he said, you know, one of the things you're going to have to do if you're going to cast out devils, you're going to have to live right. Because the devil's, if he's got a legal foothold, he'll take it. Give no place to the devil, Paul said. Well, that means we could give him place, but we don't have to give him place. There's a story in the Old Testament where Israel, you know, they had taken Jericho, you know, and now they're going to a little city called Ai, And they tell Joshua, you know, they said, hey, we don't need to send a whole army. Let's just send about 3,000 people. It's a small city. You know, we'll take them. The Lord's on our side. But what they didn't know is they had sin in the camp. And they went to Ai, and they got ran. They got chased back. The people of Ai whipped them. And Joshua was seeking God about it, like, why did this happen? And God said, there's sin in the camp. He said, you can't stand before your enemies as long as there's sin in the camp. What does that mean, sin? Now, I want to make this plain that we understand. None of us are perfect, but sin in the camp means we've allowed sin in and we're good with it. Y'all get that? God, if God was going to wait to use just people that were perfect, Mark would be the only one to be being used right now. Why is it so quiet? How many know none of us would be used, right?
Amen.
But sin in the camp means we've allowed sin in and we're cozy with it. We're okay with it. It doesn't mean we had a moment and we tripped up and we let our flesh get the best of us and then we repented. It's not talking about that. It's talking about living in sin. You do that, you can resist the devil all you want to. He's not going anywhere. He's got a legal foothold on you. Remember Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. There's no harvest here for him. I don't have anything that belongs to him. That's where we want to be. Amen. We don't want to just get, you know, come to Jesus and be made righteous. We want to pursue holiness. We want to continue to grow. Why? Because as we do that, we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? And we're going to be able to resist the devil, and he's going to have to flee from us. But if we live contrary to what we know the Bible teaches us, we choose to live contrary to that, it's an open door to our enemy. It's wonderful. I've seen young believers get saved, and you know, people say, did you know they're still doing this or they're still doing that? Well, all right, they may for a while, but if they keep coming, they keep hearing the word, they're going to all one day just, uh-oh, I ain't supposed to be doing that. We had a lady come. She didn't live around here any longer, but she used to come, and one day she read the book of Luke, and I don't know what she was reading, but she came to church, and she said, oh, my gosh, I read the book of Luke. Oh, my gosh. She saw stuff she wasn't supposed to be doing. Well, I appreciated that. I wasn't just going to, you know, obviously, I saw things that she was doing that she probably shouldn't be doing, but she's a babe in the Lord.
Yeah.
Babes do things they're not supposed to do. How many know that?
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you put a crayon in a one-year-old's hands, don't be surprised when the wall gets colored on. They don't know any better. All right? And but you put it in an 11-year-old's hand, and they better not color on the wall because there's more expected. I mean, we got a little great-granddaughter. She's so cute. She's kind of getting the age where now you got to kind of start correcting her. I don't know. She's a year or something like that. So it's correction time. But they're cute. But you got to, after a while, you got to start correcting things. She loves the snack. She knows where all the snacks are out in the house. I was sitting outside, and Jeremy and Michelle have this separate room that's off the garage, but they got a refrigerator in there. So I'm sitting, and she's pointing in that room. She's wanting me to come, pointing that room. So I get up, go. I'll go in the room with her. She points at the refrigerator. So open the refrigerator door. She points at a Coke. I said, I don't think you're supposed to have that. I think that's Papa's Coke. That's cute. But how many know after a while they grow up and you expect more? How many know God's the same way? Babes do things. And if they just keep coming to church, if they just keep reading the Bible, they're going to find out about it. I did. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm not supposed to be saying that. I'm not supposed to be calling people bucket heads. That was a revelation to me. But thank God. Why? Well, I read in the book of Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. I thought, well, that's probably not kind. Some of the things I'm saying is not kind. So I have to quit it. Let's all stand up. Thank God for the word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.